Today's daf is daf kuf samach dalet in Baba Batra. Last perek asiri get pashut. So after having gone through all of the different ways in which it would be possible to forge the relationship between the witnesses and the shtar in a get pashut and a get mekushar, we have to go back now to one of the important yesodos that raised some questions, and that was Rav, which we learned yesterday. Now let's take a look now to review it on Kuf Samach Gimel Amud Beis, one line up from the bottom. Gufa. Let's review what Rav said. Amar Rav, shtar habahu ve'edav al mechak kasher. So it's okay for a shtar to be written on a piece of parchment that had previously been erased if both the shtar and the witnesses are written on the same erasure, because then there's nothing suspicious about one thing having been erased. Why is that true? If it's on the erasure, what's to prevent you from having erased the top part again, written another shtar, which is now ostensibly signed by the Enim over there before, and then the very fact that it's erased should mean that it's no longer usable. It was Bishlema the first time where we know we have that finish on the parchment that makes it obvious that it's erased. So that's the protection. But now that it's not on special paper, so to speak, anymore, on erasure-proof paper, and we're accepting it because it's erased, so then erase it again. So then there's no protection against forgery. Ve'im tomar, so you'll tell me, the obvious question is then, mochek, v'chozero mochek, what's to prevent the guy having written it on the machak to erase it again and rewrite something new? No. Eino dome. It's very simple. It's because there is no way that somebody's going to make the mistake of seeing a contract where the Edim are signed on a level 1 erasure, and the shtar itself is written on a level 2 erasure. It'll be obvious that the guy had re-erased the shtar and written something else. Well, what's to prevent in Valefish Duma Shadi Dyuta Mokam Edim Ikara? Hold on a second. What he could have done is, actually, he could have written now an additional on the part of the Edim. He could have thrown some ink on the place where the Edim now were going to sign. Erase it so that the Edim are now signing on the part of the contract that is actually going to be erased. This part is erased twice, and it's going to be erased above it another time afterwards. It too will be twice, and then it'll match. So you'll say, but the Edom will see that it doesn't match. No, they won't, because they will assume that the difference between the top part and the bottom part is that the top part is written, and therefore there's a different contrast between the letters and the paper, but they won't realize that that's not going to be the way it looks when they sign, after they sign. So what happens is that he gives it to them to sign. They don't notice it when they say, boy, that looks awfully white. But, well, of course, it's not written on yet, right? So then they will sign on it. And before the ink has a chance to dry and they can really look at what it looks like, he'll say, thank you very much, and take it away from them. Then he goes home, he erases the top part, which will now match perfectly to the place where the Edom are, because it'll be the double erasure, write in a new contract, and everything will match beautifully. So what's to prevent him from doing that? When he then subsequently erases the top part, now the entire contract, including the signatures, is going to be a classic Nimchak Shtepa. It will all look the same. Omer Abaye, Kosova Rav, Ein Ha'edim Chotmin Al Hamechak, Elo Kim Nimchak Bifneihem. There's a takana, and this is how Rav understands that we needed to make a takana like this in order to allow for contracts who are on the erasures. Remember, it's very expensive to use first-time parchment for a shtar. I mean, you want to use, really, palimpsest for a shtar. I mean, otherwise it's crazy. So what he did was, he said, look, there's a takana that if you're going to be using an erased piece of shtar, then the witnesses have to watch the erasure. So if the witnesses watch the erasure, so then they see that this was erased once. And therefore, there's no way that you're going to be able to show them a shtar that's already ready for them to sign on the place where there's an erasure. So if at that point the entire thing looks different, then they're going to see, hey, wait a minute, how come the place where we sign is a deeper erasure that has a different color? So then they won't sign. So therefore, there'd be no way that he could do that.
Are these halachas based on like something in the Torah or
no,
or just
not at all? We saw that we had esmachtos for certain of the dinim at the beginning of the sugya. So we looked for a place where there would be a dinim to get mekusher tzad. If you hold it like the Ritva, that an esmachta really is an indication, you know, okay. But I mean, there's no saying that the Ritva would have held that this is one of those kind of esmachtas either, because the getter of an esmachta, according to that, is only where it's part of the mishmeres. If it's part of the Mishmeres, and then they're saying, look, the Mishmeres can include this and this and this when it's necessary. There's no issue of Mishmeret when it comes to Shtar. It's a simple question of Tikkun HaShuk and commerce, and therefore if the Rabbanim, even if they give you an Esmachta, I really find it difficult to believe that this would be included in the Ritva's Esmachta. So anyway, whatever the case is, we now have a guarantee against a double erasure type of forgery. So everything is okay. Ask the Gemara, how can you say that this is what Rav holds if it's going to run counter to the following braita? Hu al haniya, the edav al hamechak kasher. Now here it says that if the contract itself is written on fresh paper, whereas the edim are signed now on an erasure, it's kosher. But if Rav is telling us the correct halacha, this is ridiculous. Because then, it's the easiest thing in the world is to erase the upper shtar, which is on fresh paper, and then it'll look exactly the same as the area of the erasure. And according to Rav, if both the shtar and the edim are on an erasure, so then it's kosher. So then this bright is saying that that is not kosher, because otherwise it's impossible. So v'nechosh, according to Rav, dima mochik le'vekotiv ma'idaboy, after he gets this shtar, he'll simply erase the top part, write whatever the heck he wants, and now he has the edim, v'havihu ve'edav alamechak, and now we will have a kosher shtar, a libet Rav, which is entirely written on an erasure. Ah, that's because if edim sign on a shtar in which the surface of the paper, the parchment, is different in the shtar and the signatures, then there has to be an indication of that in the actual signature. So the edim have to write the katvei hachi. Anachna sahari chatamna amachka v'shtara katav al niyar. We, the following witnesses, signed on an area that was erased. However, the shtar itself was not written on an erasure. So that way, they're protected against the possible forgery, because if he erases it, then obviously anybody who reads the signatures will say, hey, wait a minute, I thought this was written on the R. Now it's written on erasure. The guy must have erased it. So therefore, we don't really have much of a problem. Says the Gemara, that's very interesting. Where exactly did they write that? The Katvei Hecha. I mean, if they write it underneath their signatures, then all you have to do is cut it off. So Imelot Tachet, so then guy is like, if you write it on top of the signature, he'll erase that together with everything else. So where would exactly be the place where we're going to guarantee against forgery? So you have to write it between the two signatures. That way there's nothing you can do. So the katve, the only place where you could write this is bein sahada l'sahada. That's the Gemara in Masefa. If you're telling me that Lamaisa, this is possible to do, I'll just make a note in the signatures. So now you explain the next case. It says, Hu ha-mech. If now the shtar itself was written on the mechak part, the edav al aniyar, and the witnesses are on the part that was clear on the original paper, it's pasul. Why? Because it's clear that it was erased, right? No, am I pasul? All you need to do is write in that signature, achinami nichtavu achi. Write like this. Anachna sahari chatimna al niyara. Our signature is on the new paper, the new shtar, the new parchment, and the shtar was written on the mechak. So what's the problem that you have over here? My amrit, you'll say, but if they write that, what's to prevent you from erasing it again? And then you'll have a completely new shtar. So my avet mochek chozer mochek. I thought you just said that we don't worry about that either, because the amret ein adom and nimchak pa'amachat, the nimchak shtei pa'amim. So now everything would be great. I think, well, it's not great. I mean, hanimi leheched echatim esadei amachka. That's where you have a sample of what a mochuk would look like. So over there, if you're going to have now another machuk, so you'll have a machuk with the upper part will be machuk twice, and the edim will be machuk once. It'll be very obvious in a comparison side by side that it's no good. But eched lochati misade amachta ela niara, in a case where the edim themselves are signed on the actual surface, not on the machak. So then we have nothing to compare it to. Lo yadia. So what are we supposed to do? We can't tell. It's not that we can look at it and know whether it's a first-time erasure or a second-time erasure. All that Rav was saying before is that you could tell the difference between a first-time erasure and a second-time erasure when they're side-by-side. Says the Gemara, well, why not make it side-by-side? Bring another piece of parchment. Make an erasure on another piece of parchment and take a look whether it looks the same. If it doesn't look the same, then obviously this one's been erased twice. No. You can't compare separate runs of parchment. It's going to be on the same contract. So if the Edom are signed on a one-time mechak, we'll easily see if the upper part was a two-time mechak. Ask the Gemara, well, why not do that? Why don't we just go and be mekabel now testimony about the validity of the Chatimot Ha'idim? So the mekabel of Chatimot Yodah Desad, the Beit Din, huh? So now we're ready to be mekayim the Shtar and the Beit Din, and we'll test it. Now we erase the signatures, v'limchok, and now look at it, v'lidme. Omar Rav Hoshaya, no. Eino dome nimchak ben yomon lo nimchak shnei yamin. It's not going to look the same. You can't compare a new erasure, fresh erasure, to an old erasure. And therefore, you'll be completely misled about whether, I mean, maybe it will indeed look like, you know, something before it aged. You're not going to be able to know how it's going to look out after it aged. Asks the Gemara, it's not the same when it's freshly nimchak to when it's been around for a while. Ask the Gemara v'lishaya, so why not just leave it around for a while? Now, there are those who do not have this girsan. Apparently, in the Rashbam, his Gemara didn't have it. He brings it, some bring this girsan. Now, the reason they didn't have it is obviously because they understood that the meaning is that it'll never catch up. In other words, every day it looks a little bit different. So the way in which the surface is going to look is also defined by the amount of time that's been exposed to the air after the mechika. That, of course, is not necessarily true, in which case the question is, why not just let it age a bit, and then you'll see whether it's the same, because it could be that it looks very raw when it's first erased, so a first-time erasure is the same as a double erasure, but if you'd let the raw surface be exposed to the air, then you'll easily be able to tell the difference of the additional rawness that was added by the second erasure, as opposed to the first one that's now formed a film after exposure. To which we respond, we're not sure that every Beit Din is going to be so clear with their forensic abilities that they're going to know that they have to do all of this and so on. And so, Mamela, we simply disallowed a case where the shtar itself does not have a sample in the signature area of a first-time mechak. And that would explain why it was that Rav now exists on three levels. If you have two, the Edim and the shtar itself on the mechak, there's no problem at all. And we can easily see the difference between additional mechikot. If you have the Edim on the mechak, then they could simply write the fact that they were on the mechak to prevent a further erasure of the surface directly above it, because we could certainly tell when something was erased. So they write that the first part was not erased, and then we're protected against ziyuv. But in a case where the Edim now are on the niyar, they cannot write the above shtar was on the mechak, because then we will not have a sample to be able to tell if it was nimchak once again and replaced with another shtar on the mechak. So those are the three different dinim alibid arav. Now, the next piece in the Mishnah was Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says it's not a problem if the signatures of the get mekushar were actually put on the front because, well, you could simply turn it into a get pashut by doing that, right? So if you have a dav bitocho, he says it's kasher, v'pnei sheyachol la'asoto pashut. What would be the problem? And here comes along Rebbe now to point out that indeed there is another problem that has not been accounted for. Eishiv Rebbe, the divrei Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel, Rebbe points out you cannot turn a get mekushar into a get pashut, for the very simple reason that they use different dating approaches. Halo ina dom ezmano shelzeh ezmano shelzeh. As part of the introduction of unnecessary complications into the get mekushar, because that was the whole point. A get mekushar is a classic unnecessarily complex legal document, which nowadays is done in order to force you to hire a lawyer. But why would, no, seriously, I mean, that's it. The more complicated it gets, the more money the lawyers make. So why in the world would Chazal have complicated documents? Because there's a place where they do want you to have to hire a lawyer. And to slow you down, and that's when it comes to getting. There was all we need is for anybody to be able to write out a get, throw it at his wife, and then some people will be divorcing their wives all the time, which is not a problem, because they're going to remarry, but it is a problem if you're a Kohen. So as part of the slowdown process for the Kohuna, we just made this get so complicated with so many details that nobody's going to be able to write a get Makusha on their own. So one of the things that you have to be a Bucky in is the fact that it's dated differently. In what way is it dated differently? The Pashut is Pashut. Melach Shana, Monim Lo Shana. Shtayim, Monim Lo Shtayim, like normal people. So if it would be in the first year of, in the second year of, I mean, that's the way any normal person would call something, right? Because it's Pashut. But the more complex it gets, the more it doesn't follow your intuition. And therefore they said, look, the thing to do is that in a Bakushar, if it's the first year of a king's reign, call it the second year. If it's the second year, call it the third year. Now, the reason that they did that, they didn't just pick it out of a hat. There was, in fact, such a dating system. The Rashbam suggests that perhaps it was the civil dating system as a sign of honor to the king. So you don't want to write in the first year as if he's just an upstart, so to speak. So you make it sound as if he's a well-established king in the second year of his reign. So we normally wouldn't have gone for such a thing. However, since we're trying to make the Get Mekushar complex, we went for it in terms of the Get Mekushar. So you'll say, okay, so what's the problem? I mean, if a guy wants to do that, it's the guy who has the shtar. The guy who has the shtar is the lender. So if the lender does that, and he ends up using the edim on the front as if it's a get pashut, he's cheating himself. He's giving up a year of shibudim, because the shtar is written as if it took place a year later. Because now that he turns it into a pashut, so now the shtar is basically postdated. So, okay, there's nothing wrong with a postdated shtar if you're ready to take the loss of a year's worth of sales of sadot. So now if the borrower had sold a sadot, which he had at the time of the loan, and you try to collect the loan now 2 years later, he'll say, well, this was dated after the sale. So, well, what are you talking about? You know, I don't know nothing. This is what it says. And what's the difference? What I know. There's no way for the person to know this is what it says, and it's a get pashut. So if the lender's willing to do that, so who cares? I'll tell you who cares, says Rebbe. Who cares is the borrower. Why? Why would the borrower care? Because, I'll tell you what happens. If you do this, so then, zimnin, de yazif mnei zuzi b'mekushar. Let's say that he had, in fact, now, he goes and he takes a loan based on a get mekushar, which is now postdated. Little did he know that the guy had the get turned back into a get pashut, because the signatures were in front. And I mean, according to you, that's kosher, because you could always turn a mekushar into a pashut. So he did. Fine. In the interim, this borrower came into some money and paid off the loan. Right? So Misrami le zizi beni beni uparale. He comes now to pay him back after a half a year. He says, I got enough money. Let me pay you. The guy says, great. Okay, give me back the contract. Oh gosh, I lost the contract. Can't find the contract. I'll tell you what I'll do for you. I'll write you out a receipt. Okay. Writes him out a receipt, which of course is dated on the day of the repayment. It's a regular receipt. It's not a get mekushar. Now, half a year later, the guy comes back and says, you never paid me. You owe me, and he comes back with the shtar that suddenly has reappeared. So the guy says, what are you talking about? I have a receipt. Come on, Betty. This is a receipt for the loan from last year. This is the loan for this year. You never paid me back for this year's loan. So now he doesn't have a valid receipt because he thought that it was a get mekushar, and the guy could only be toveyed based on the year earlier. So therefore, it should be possible based on this problem, Tainas Rebbe. So how are you going to do that? So he'll tell him, Havli Shtaroy. So now the guy pays him back and says, now give me the shtar. No, I don't have it. Sorry. So I'll write you instead a receipt. V'katav le'tavre, he writes a receipt. Then v'chimate zimde. This is great. I have to work out everybody's trick, you know. Kvakodnucha Rabbanan on every trick in order to be able to get these things to work. So then, v'chimote zimne mashvilei pashut, the time comes, you turn it into a get pashut, and you say to him, the ostensible new lender, so he says, "Ani hashtadi azafta mina. Here's the new money that you borrowed from me just this year, and you didn't pay me for that." Says the Gemara, it's not really a problem, because it's only a problem if you hold that you force somebody to accept the receipt, right? And so that's Rebbe Shita, but Rebbe can't taina against Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel, because maybe Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel's Shita is Ein Kotvim Shofar. If Ein Kotvim Shofar, the guy says, look, either you give me the shtar, or I don't give you the money. No tiki, no money. And therefore, if he holds that, then Ein Achinami, there's no way to come back at him with the get mikusha that was turned into a get pashut. So that's not really much of a problem, right? So therefore, it must be kasava in kotvim shover. Ask the Gemara, but you know, Rebbe sounds pretty polished about the way that these things work. I mean, I thought Rebbe didn't know anything about a get mikusha. Umi baki Rebbe be mikusha. Remember, we had this story before. And there was a mice about exactly this problem. There was Ahu Mekushar Da'ata L'Kami to Rebbe. Once Rebbe had, there was another story where Rebbe found a get Mekushar that was brought into court. The Omar Rebbe, wait a minute, the shtar is postdated. You're aware of that. Omar Rebbe shtar mu'charze, which is not necessarily a problem if both parties are aware, but I mean, Rebbe felt it was necessary for them to be aware. He wants them to know that there's no hanky-panky. Either party could lose, right? The lender would lose because he loses out on a year of his shi'ibudim. The borrower could lose because of this little trick, in case he may not realize, it'll take the regular date. For Omar like Zonin, Le Rebbe says Zonin, told Rebbe, no. Kach min hagashel umazo. This locale where they made the takana of the get mekushar, which was the atra dekanim, as we saw before, in that country, what they would do is malach shana morim oshtayim. Shalosh. So, I mean, this came as a tremendous chiddush to Rebbe. Now we're saying, well, Rebbe's got the whole thing worked out. I mean, how do you have the whole thing worked out?
There's no
debt on mom or even. Yeah, exactly. Says the Gemara. Well, you know, Rebbe learns too. You know, obviously, I only make the mistake once. You know, so having learned it from Zonin, so now he knows. Now there was once a shtar. Just now that you mentioned this idea of first year and second year, there was a shtar that came now into Beit Din that also had a problem with a date, and it said in the year of such and such, giving the name, the year of, didn't say what year of, the year of so-and-so, the Arkan. So what is that supposed to mean? So Omer Rebbe Chanina, Yibadek imatai amad Arkan ba'arkanute. Arkan simply means the ark, archbishop, archman, ark, whatever it is, right? So in other words, the guy in charge, the name for now the melech. But, as we're going to see, it also means the first ark, right? So the one on top, but that means that it's the first year of his reign. So if you write Bishnat Arkon, they would always refer to the new king as the Arkon. We'll see later on that they would then change it to Digon, Trigon, Tetragon, and so on and so forth. So Arkon always meant by definition the first of his reign. So therefore, says Rebbe Chanina, okay, find out what that year was. That year is the date. So when he was Eimed Barkanute, that's when the contract was written. So they were, how do you know Arkon means that? Maybe Arkon, it means the Aramaic use of Arkon, which would mean Deorich Malchute. Maybe as he's had in his long, in the long reign of King so-and-so, right? Arok.
It also says his name afterwards.
Yeah, there's whatever, it's Plony, it says Arkon, right? Plony Arkon. Omer Avoshaya, no, you don't understand. Kach min hagashel umazot, we're not analyzing the word on our own. The use of the word Arkon in a contract means the shanari shanat, the name of the man ark is Arkan. That's the pshat. So the Arkan is by definition the first year of a monarch. Shnia, you call the digan, which is the D year of the monarch. Well, but maybe he lost his job and then they brought him back in again, you know? Maybe it's Bush the Second or something. So Dilma Aburi Yebrua Vahadar Akumua. Maybe they made him the king again. This is the no, says Rabbi Yirmiyah, that does happen, but then they write Arkan Digan.
Of course,
yeah, exactly.
Can I ask, mm-hmm. why don't we have Yiddish?
That we discussed in Gittin. Is there any of Shalom Malchut? No, on the contrary, it gets them upset. So there's an Indian of writing. No, of course. Yeah. Tana Rabbana. We find a similar din in the Hilchas Naziros, because if somebody says Hareini Nazir Hina, or Unos, so Sumcha Omar, so Hina is Achat, Digon is Shtayim, Trigon is Shalosh, Tetragon is Arba, Pentagon is Chamesh, and so on. So in other words, we use these words also in terms of common speech, because obviously Dinim of Naziris is defined by Lashon B'nei Adam. So this is the way people talk. Tana Rabbanan, we find exactly the same halacha legabe the dinim of tzara'at. A bayit agol, so if a house is round, it doesn't have corners, or it's a digon house with two corners, or it's a trigon house, so it's made as a triangle, or it's a pentagon, eno mitame benegoyim, so you can't be metame it, because we will see, we learn out of a pasuk. So if it's a tetragon, and only if it's a tetragon, so then it has four corners, so then it would be mitame benegoyim. Minan emile, how do we know that? The Tana Rabbanan, lamala hu oimer, in the lashon of the pasuk, v'ra'at anega v'nei anega, bikirot habayit. So that bikirot habayit, we darshan is two kirot, kir kirot. That's shtayim. And lamatu omer, the same thing, v'shava kohen b'yom ha-shvi'i, v'nei pasa nega bikirot habayit. So again, it's kir kirot, which is another shtayim. Harekan arba. Even though it does say shafal min akir, and we should add another one, but that's legufe. That's not coming. That's the dinim of the Mara. It has nothing to do with where it is and so on. So that doesn't count. But in terms of where the nega is, it's a reference to four separate identifiable walls as opposed to a round house or one that has less than four separate identifiable walls. And over there, there's no din of negoyim at all. Anyway, so this was sort of an aside, just how it is that we can identify what the meaning is of the date.
Well, what would a Beit Digon look like? Two-cornered house.
Beit Digon?
Yeah, what is that?
Two-cornered house with a nice, beautiful, rounded edge.
Ah.
Oh, that's nice.
Modern.
Mm-hmm. Very modern. Now, Humekushar Data Lakami to Rebbe, there was the mice that we had earlier, where we also saw that Rebbe was not a Baki Bimekushar, is where he got this Get Mekushar and he said, wait a minute, there ain't no date in this. In Zman Bezit. Omale Reb Shimon Bar Rebbe La Rebbe. So Reb Shimon, his son, says to Rebbe, Shema Bein Kisharav Muvla? Might it be that it's tucked in between the Kisharim? So sure enough, we saw that Palye, he opened it up, and Chazye, and then he saw, oh yes, indeed, that is where the date is. Now, what we didn't know is the rest of the story, which is that Rebbe gave a dirty look to Reb Shimon. So, Chazye be Rebbe bishut. So he thought that his son had written it, and either he didn't like the way that he had been mavliya the date to that extent, that they missed it, or he bichlal didn't like using a get mekushar because it's just too many prote dinim that people are not bekim, and whatever the case is, he gives him a dirty look. So Rabbi Shimon says, I didn't write it. no, it wasn't me. Lavana katve, I didn't write it. It was Rabbi Yehuda Chitaya. I'm like, enough Lashon Hara in here. Gulach mi Lashon Hara. I said, what do you have to tell me who wrote it? All you have to do is say, I didn't write it. Now, there was another time, where Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe was sitting there, and Rebbe was doing his Pirkei Hayom B'Tanach, you know, it's a Pasuk Sidur with Sefer Tehillim. So he was finishing up now the Sefer Tehillim, and he had this beautiful, really beautiful written Tehillim, and he says, phew, kama miyushar k'tav zeh, this is like high quality so fair, let me tell you. Oh, my lay, sir, Rabbi Shimon, well, I can't take credit. Lav ana katve, it was Yehuda Chitaya katve. Oh my, kalach mi lashon hara. What's all this lashon hara that you keep talking about? For Yudachit, wait, lashon hara. Bishrei mahatamika lashon hara. I understand the first story. Okay, you could say it was lashon hara. Laha my lashon hara. What's so bad about saying he's a good writer? No, that's because Rebbe was cheshish for Avdimi. To Tony Avdimi, achuder of Safra, leolama yisaper adam betovato shel chaveru Shemitoch davato, boli de rato. If you say something good about someone, somebody's bound to have a nasty comment. Yeah, well, but. There's always got to be a but.
So how can you talk about anybody?
So therefore, says the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, that this means barabim. Because if you talk about someone barabim, there's always going to be someone whose jealousy is, and therefore they're going to respond. And this mice was in the Beis HaMedrash, so Rebbe was telling him, what are you talking something good about a guy in the Beis HaMedrash? There's bound to be now discussions about him. You know, what do you have to say anything about? Just don't mention his name, Bichlal. But obviously, to be Meshabeach, a person between you and somebody, you know, except the Shevach, that's, as the Rambam says, that's a big mitzvah, to be Meshabeach people, and to that's like a kovet for Tamir HaChomim and a kovet Habriyas. Of course you're supposed to do that.
So why is it called a Vakal Shonar?
It is. Later
so
on.
So the din of Mikset Shivcho Shul is
not no, not Nagaya this. Ah, Bichlal, you mean. Oh.
Not
Barabbi. Yeah, you got to be careful. Yeah, things haven't changed, but that means things haven't changed in the past either.
No, but people
things didn't used to be any better.
Yeah,
and you always have a comment. Always. I've never been in a situation where somebody says something good about someone.
Or somebody doesn't.
Yeah, it. Yeah, but.
They allowed them, before the guy makes his speech, and they call him a Rav HaGaon, and you know, do it for everybody that stands up. That's also like a problem too.
Besides it's being an insult?
Yes.
Okay, so, mitok tovato belide rato. Omre vamram amarav, the truth is that, you know, shalosh averot ein adam nitzomeyem bechol yom. There's three averas that there's simply no way to avoid having some kishalon every single day. First of all, yiru avera, thoughts about some kind of relationship that's not correct. Iyun tefila. What exactly is iyun tefila? We know that iyun tefila. So the Rashbam brings the most obvious iyun tefila, which is that after he davens, he's really feeling really good about himself. I pressed all the right buttons. We should definitely be getting the right results. So this is that's the most obvious part. But Tosva says, I mean, this is very difficult to believe, and lots of people don't trust their tefillah. Tell me, everybody, like every day, really believes in their tefillah. If anything, it's just the opposite. How can you say people are so convinced that they daven well that they're waiting, matai tavo tefillatam? Definitely I was successful in that. That can't be. That people, halavai, we should be in that kind of matzah, right? So in other words, the idea over here would have to be some kind of other type of tefillah. It must be some other issue of Iyun tefillah. So it should be similar to, the idea of Yirur Avera and Lashon Hara. You know, so it would have to be that it's not Iyun tefillah means that it's not properly mechuvah. In other words, it's bad thoughts. So it's bad thoughts. Right. So you're thinking about other things, just like Yirur Avera would be thinking about the wrong things.
So
there's no way to avoid not being ma'ayan. That's how he learns. So says the Gemara, wait a minute. Lashon hara. Sabkatai, but people are nichshal every day in mamish lashon hara. No, alak lashon hara. What we're talking about is like we just had. No, that type of thing, which is not mamish lashon hara, but you'll be nichshal in something that relates to lashon hara. So you'll say something good about someone in front of another person, or you'll say sort of just a gentle comment, which really boils down to lashon hara because of the way that you said it. You know, like the case of the Gemara and Erechin, where we're going to get a light. Oh, so and so usually has barbecue going. You know, yeah. Okay, so.
So when Rebbe said klaf mi lashon hara,
that's what he's including.
Real lashon hara, one should not.
That's right. Okay. So you wanted to give him this sense of there's no enough. There's no, everything that you're doing is always lashon hara in some way. Omer Rebbe Yehuda Bichlal, you should know that rov begezel, most people are going to be nichshal in some kind of gezel, you know, because even if it isn't, it's not really that open. But there's always a little bit of, you know, whether it's paper clips, I give myself a slightly better deal than the guy thinks, or I'm telling him he's getting a better deal than he really is. So that there's always avak of gezel that's involved.
This is also puzzle art, too.
Umiyud va'arayot va'kol b'lashon hara. So most people are involved in gezel. Less than the rove are involved in arayot. And everybody's involved in lashon hara. Everybody in lashon hara. It's not a baita. El avak lashon hara. Some aspect of lashon hara is no way everybody's that shall in avak lashon hara.
Except for Rebbe, who seemed to be very machpin on it.
Maybe every is.
I just noticed that people